we are all included in this group. And so in verse number 5, John changes the subject a little bit. And he's not so much talking about why he's giving the message. He starts to reveal what is the message. Look at the first line of verse number 5 in 1 John chapter number 1. This then is the message. This then, John says, is the... Now, he just said in the verse before that, I'm giving you this message, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, that you may have a full life in Christ, that you may experience what it is like to live your fullness of life that is offered to you in Christ. And in verse number 5, he says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Here's the message. Y'all ready for this? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity just to be here in this place at this time with these people. Lord, just having church tonight. I pray, God, that you would help us now, Lord, just to worship you in spirit and truth, to learn and to glean from your word. God, I pray you'd help us to see something tonight. Help somebody in here to see something tonight from your word that they've never seen before, that they can apply to their life in a meaningful way. And we'll give you glory for all that which you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here's what he says. He says, here's the message. And he immediately starts talking about the nature of God. He says this about God. He says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Now notice the extremity of what he's talking about here. This is not just a physical, literal message, but this is a metaphorical message as well. And think about this. He's light and there's no darkness. Well, you know what happens when you walk in a dark room and you turn on a light? Now you're in a light room. Have you ain't never heard nobody say, I'm going to go in the closet and turn on the dark because it's too light in there. Don't work like that. Matter of fact, the only way you can have darkness is for no light to be present. Darkness is not, if darkness is the absence of light. And John says, here's what you need to know about God. He is light. And just in case you don't understand what I'm saying, I want you to understand that in him is no darkness. So what are we saying, preacher? Here's what we're saying. God is what he is. And he's nothing else. He is light. You know what light does? It reveals. Light protects. You ever heard anybody that's afraid of the light? No, but I know a lot of people that's afraid of the dark. Because there's things that can come upon you in the dark that you can't see. Light is a protector. Light is a revealer. Light is a healer. We've learned that even more. We've always known that the sunlight was good for you, but did you know that other forms of light, that when your body's exposed to it, can heal you of all types of different things? I remember during COVID, and y'all will remember this, Trump made a statement about UV light, and everybody picked on him about it, but it was true. They found the truth of the matter is UV light is used to sterilize and kill all types of diseases. Light is only ever a negative if you're trying to be in the darkness. Men love darkness rather than light, the Bible says, for their deeds, because their deeds are evil. They don't want them to be seen. And here's what he said about God and about Jesus. He said that he is light, and in him there is no darkness. He is only one way, and it's out in the open. So what are you getting at? What John is about to tell us in these next verses is some ways we can be like him. But if we're going to understand how to be more like Christ, we're going to have to understand that Christ is what he is. There's no way around it. There's no way over it. There's no way under it. You can't partially hide it or partially reveal it. He is what He is, and He always has been and always will be. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3 tells us that I am the Lord and I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thank God that He's always the same. Amen?
He's light. And then He starts the next verse with this word. And this is what I'm going to build the whole message off of. If. Then look at the beginning of verse number 6. But. Then look at the beginning of verse number 7. But. Verse number 8. If. Verse number 9. If. Verse number 10. If.
Here's what I'm going to preach for just a little while tonight. How can we be like Jesus? How can we be like Christ? We understand that God is Jesus and Jesus is God. Amen. We all have a handle on that. I don't have to get into semantics here. But in the following verses here, John begins to give some direction on how we're supposed to be more like Him. By manner of way of the fact of the realization that He is the way He is. How can we be like Christ? I'm going to preach this backwards. Is that all right with everybody? We're going to start all the way at verse number 10. Here's what I'm going to say. How can we be like Christ? This is real simplistic. This ain't going to win me no awards, but I think this will help you. The first thing I want to say is by not lying. Say, preacher, I want to be more like Jesus. All right, you have to be honest about some stuff. By not lying about our sinfulness. Look at verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned. Now, be real careful right here. Because back in verse number 8, we're going to get there in a minute. He says if we say that we have no sin, that's different. That T makes a difference. Right here he says if we say that we have not sinned, listen to this. We make Him a liar, and His word is not in us.
Have you ever met somebody, and you try to tell them about Jesus, and they said something like this? Well, I'm not a sinner. You don't understand. I'm not a sinner. You tell them, hey, listen, Jesus saves sinners. Well, I'm not a sinner. Listen to me. They've done two things right there. They've made God a liar. Listen now. And they've revealed that His word is not in them. Because if God's word was in them, if they believed that it was true, then they would have to capitulate to the fact that they are a sinner. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 3. For all have sinned. I don't know how else you can interpret that. For all have sinned, and he defines sin, by the way, in that verse, come short of the glory of God. Are you going to tell me that you really believe that you're as holy as Jesus? If that's the case, me and you need to work something out. I need to be following you around. I certainly don't need to be up here preaching to you. We're going to have to be honest. If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to have to be honest about our sinfulness. That's step one on the road to being like Christ. For a man to be born again, there is repentance necessary. Here's what repentance means. A change of direction. You say, what are you changing your direction? You're changing your direction from your way to His way. From your point of view to His point of view. You're coming to a realization that the way that you're going is going to lead you to hell because of your sin. And you're turning to Him knowing that He can absolve you of that sin. Think about that. We say we use this terminology as Bible words to say somebody got saved. There was an old preacher, I can't remember what his name was, an old-time famous preacher, and he said this. He said that the danger in the church in the 20th and 21st century would be conversion without conviction.
can't get saved until you realize you're a sinner. I say it all the time. A lot of reason we are ineffective at getting people saved is because we're not willing to get them lost. You can't get saved till you realize you're lost. Except the first step in the ABCs of salvation. Except that you are a sinner. And the wages of sin, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, is death. You say, why do you preach on sin, preacher? Because I need you to be able to be honest with yourself and honest with God in the fact that you have sinned. Because without that realization, you do not have the ability to repent. To be saved. Let me ask you this question. If you're not a sinner, what are you getting saved from? What are you getting saved to? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You say, preacher, I don't have that problem. I repented of my sin and I got saved. But hey, listen to me. Don't forget who you used to be. Such were some of you. I like that 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified.
How can we be like Christ? We have to quit lying about our sinfulness. We're going to have to quit lying to ourselves. Look at verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin. Now, I believe that this is an inward statement. Because it would be so ignorant for you to say this outwardly.
Yeah.
Think about that. If we say, and I've got more proof that it's an inward statement. Listen to what he says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive who? Ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Can I tell you something, friend? If you have become convinced in your mind that you are incapable of sin, listen to me. The only person that believes that is you. We have a term in modern vernacular. We say things like self-righteous. You know why we call it self-righteousness? Because yourself is the only one that believes that you're actually righteous.
Because it ain't somebody else attributing righteousness to you. It's you attributing it to yourself. We deceive ourselves. How can we be more like Jesus? We're going to have to quit lying to ourselves.
God is light and in him is no darkness. We got darkness in us right here. We're going to have to quit lying to ourselves. You say, I don't do that. Here's how you do it. Here's how most Christians lie to themselves more than any other way. This is the biggest lie we tell ourselves. Nobody else is going to find out. Nobody else is going to know. That's not the lie. Sometimes that's true. The lie is, and that makes it okay. That's the biggest lie we tell ourselves. Because no one's going to find out, therefore, it's okay. What I do when nobody else is around is not as important as what I do when people can see. That you're lying to yourself. Here's another lie we tell ourselves. Here's the biggest lie. I'm telling you, this is the biggest lie that Satan has perpetrated on the church that I've ever seen. It's ruined more people. Listen to me closer now, because this statement I've made has ruined many a good Christian much better than me. I can handle this. I can stop anytime I want to. We're lying to ourselves. And here's the most foolish part of it is nobody believes it but us.
That's right.
Everybody else knows you're lying to yourself.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And, notice this, and the truth is not in us.
God is light, in him there's no darkness. You can't be darkness and light, friend. Are you hearing me? If you're deceiving yourself, That deception is the absence of truth. You can't be both.
You can't have it both ways. You listen to me. You're either going to be honest with yourself or you're going to be dishonest. You're either going to be honest about your sin or you're going to be dishonest. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
How can we be like Christ? By not lying. By not lying about our sinfulness. Not lying to ourselves. Listen to this, verse number 6. By not lying to the Spirit. Listen to this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Notice he said we. He included himself in this. This goes for everybody. And do not the truth.
Let me put it in 21st century church terminology. Y'all ready for this?
Amen.
If we come to church every Sunday and purport ourselves to worship God, yet when we leave this place, we walk in darkness, we're lying. And we're not doing the truth. We're not being honest. Now we're not just lying to others and lying to ourselves. Now we're lying to God. You want to know about what the consequences of lying to God looks like, how He feels about it? Go to Acts chapter 5 and you'll find out. Acts chapter 5, there was a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. They were church folks. I'm talking about in the first century church. They was in there when they was doing everything. I'm talking about healing people and all that stuff. And the Bible says that it got to be such a great revival and things started breaking loose so much that basically they created a commune for these Christians. And everybody sold everything they had and gave all the money to the apostles for the church. Ananias and Sapphira had some land. And they sold it. And they conspired together, and here's what they said. They said, we're going to give this money to the church, and we're going to keep some of it for ourselves. But we're going to tell the church this is all of it. That's where they messed up. And Ananias walked in the church service, and he said, we've sold all our land, and here's all the money. And Peter said, well, you messed up now. That's what he would have said if he was the pastor down in East Baptist Church. He said, well, you messed up now, son. Bye. Say, what happened to Ananias? God killed him. Dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. They rolled him up in a rug and toted him outside. Here's what Peter said to him. He said, this is what's so foolish about what you've done. When that money was yours, it was yours to do with what you want. But when you promised it to God, you lied to the Holy Ghost. And then his wife come in, didn't know what had happened. And she said, y'all hear what my husband done? Sold all the land and give all the money to the church. Peter said, you messed up now. Shouldn't have said that. And they had to find another rug to roll her up in to carry her out. He said, I don't know about that. Go Acts chapter 5, search me out on this. Go home and read it for yourself and find out. That's exactly how it happened. He said, what happened right there? They were lying to God about worshiping God, and God didn't like that. It's a good thing that that was the last time that God done something like that, because our churches would be we'd have bigger graveyards. Because here's what we do. We come into church and the Spirit of God's moving and we can see other people worshiping and we begin to lift our hand or we say amen or we say sing or preach or whatever it is, and we come in the altar down week in and week out and week in and week out, and we leave out of here and ain't bit more done no business with God than the man in the moon. So what have you done right there? You've lied to the Holy Spirit. You've made a mockery, a blasphemy of the things of God. How are we going to be more like Jesus? We have to quit lying so much. Listen, if you say, preacher, this is convicting me. It's convicting me too. Look up in here. You better hear what I'm saying right here and take it to heart. This is serious business. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to everybody else, and we're lying to God.
You say, but here's what everybody says when you start preaching on sin like this. They say, but well, preacher, we ain't perfect. Okay, all right. He planned for that. All right. Go to verse number 9. How can we be more like Jesus? By not lying. What about this? By leaning. Look at verse number 9. If we confess our sins. Notice the sins implied. You do have sins that need confession. If we confess our sins. Notice that it don't say to the priest. To the pastor. Thank God. You do not have to confess your sins to me, although some people feel like it's their duty to do so. Hey man, I don't want to carry you. I'm carrying my own bucket, friend. If we confess our sins, listen to this. He is faithful. I just want to stop right here for just a minute and say, thank God he's faithful. Are you listening to this now? Think about this. How often have I not been faithful? He's never not been faithful. He is faithful. I like the word is because that's a continuation. That means he is right now and he is going to be faithful and just to forgive us and, check this out, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're missing a step on our confession because confession ain't just about telling him you've done something wrong. It's about getting some help to not do it no more. We end it on telling him what we did. And a lot, listen to me now, we'll help you with something right here. Somebody's going to get something from what I'm fixing to say. Some of us deal with what Paul called besetting sin. It's the sin that does so easily beset us. That means we're dealing with it over and over and over again. And I think a lot of the reason is because our prayer life, our confession part of our prayer life amounts to, Lord, I did it again. Please forgive me. And thank God, he's faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us. But listen, he can also cleanse you. Here's what, let me add something to your prayer on that. You got, listen, you got something in your life and you feel like, hey God, you don't have to say nothing right here, but everybody's experienced what I'm saying. That you feel like, man, I do the same stuff over and over and over and over. I got to confess it. And it's like I'm constantly, you know, asking for forgiveness. And thank God, he's faithful to forgive us. But won't you add this to it? Lord, I did it again. I'm sorry. Please forgive me and help me figure out how to not do this stuff. Because I tell you what he'll do. He'll cleanse me. He'll take it away from me. I've said this a million times, but when I got saved, God did something for me I felt like was special. In that he took away from me a desire for alcohol. Amen. I can't explain that to you. I got saved November 10, 2013. Since that day, I've consumed one alcoholic beverage. A few weeks after I got saved, and I thought God was going to kill me over it. And it upset me. I just never have had when I'm riding down the road on a hot day and I see a cold beer on a billboard up there, it don't bother me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I can't explain that to you. But I'm thankful that that's the way he done it because other than that, I don't know how I'd ever got loose from that. I'm glad that he didn't just forgive me, he cleansed me. Some of us need to realize we're leaning on our own self. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Listen to me now. Won't you ask him this question? Lord, how? Show me how to not end up in this situation. Show me something from Scripture that will give me a warning. Show me next time I'm fixing to encounter this particular demon. Give me a warning light. Here's what he said. He said, with every temptation, he'll make a way of escape. I think what I've had to ask him sometimes before, Lord, put a brighter exit sign on the escape. Amen. I'm just telling you about me. Because I'm not taking the escape, Lord. I'm getting caught in the same trap. You're going to have to make the door bigger. I,
got over our pride and acknowledged our own weakness so that we could lean on Him rather than trying to lean on ourselves all the time. You want to be a little more like Jesus in the throes of the most stressful, most powerful, overwhelming, hardest moment in the earthly life of Jesus. Here's what He said. Not my will, but thine be done. Nowhere in your Bible does it say Jesus wanted to go to Calvary. Listen to me now. For the joy that was set before Him, listen. He endured the cross, despising the shame. It didn't have nothing to do with whether or not He wanted to. It had to do with the fact that it had to be done. And when His physical flesh began to overwhelm Him with grief, He said, Lord, if there's another way, let's do that. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Hey, listen, some of you need to get over yourself a little bit. Well, I'm going to be all right. I'm tough. I can make it. No, you can't.
Thank God you don't have to. He's already made it. I get frustrated. Christians say stuff like this. I'm just
trying to make it to heaven. I'm not trying to make it to heaven. Jesus already made it.
Amen.
I'm with Him.
That's right.
We have to quit lying. We have to start leaning. And then I want to say this. I'm almost done. How can we be more like Jesus? We need to be learning.
That's right.
Look at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Let me ask you a question.
Just go with you right here. Y'all ever been somewhere dark at night and you had to go by way of like a flashlight? I mean, like when you hunt, I just always think about hunting in the woods, but there's other reasons you'd be in the dark and have a flashlight. And if you got the light, and I want to be in the light, guess what that means? I might have to stay with you.
If we walk in the light as He is in the light, not in the light as we see fit. He's the one with the light. He's the one that is the light. There's only one way to walk in the light, and that's by doing it the way He wants you to do it. The psalmist said, He's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But the light is on His terms. If we walk in the light, how do we walk in the light as He is in the light? Well, we're going to have to pursue Him. We're going to have to stay with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Y'all catching what I'm throwing right here?
I don't know how to put this really into words, but I know what I'm trying to say, and I'm thinking some of y'all are picking up what I'm putting down right there.
If we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we follow Him the way He says we're supposed to follow Him, then, listen to this, if we walk in the light as He is in the light,
this next phrase in between these two commas is so amazing. Because this is like an added bonus that really don't have much to do with anything else we're talking about, but it's a blessing. We have fellowship one with another. Here's a good evidence. You say, preacher, how do I know if I'm doing it right? Do you have fellowship one with another? How do you feel when you're in a room full of church people? That's a pretty good indicator of where you're at in your walk with God. If you can't be comfortable fellowshipping with saved people, there's probably a problem. If we walk in the light, as He's in the light, here's the evidence, we have fellowship one with another. And you you say, preacher, that's all great and wonderful and beautiful and everything, but you know, we're still going to have problems. We're still going to mess up. And the blood of His Son Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You'd be a whole lot less worried if you just walked in the light, isn't it?
That's right.
You'd be a whole lot less distrustful if you just walk in the light as He is in the light. And you'd probably be, to be honest with you, I'm going to just say we. I'm going to quit saying you. I'm going to say we right here. We'd probably be a lot less stressed out if we just walk in the light as He is in the light. And we'd have fellowship one with another. We wouldn't have all the drama and strife that we have. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. That's not even something that we need to be concerned about. He's got that. He's got His part covered. Notice what it says. Listen to this.
This is amazing. Cleanses us from how much sin?
All
sin. He's got His part covered, y'all. He's got. Quit trying to fix God and start following Him. Learning from Him.
If we walk in the light as He is in the light. You know what will help you learn from the Word of God? This is. I was preaching this to Wednesday night crowd sometimes, feels like, you know. But I put it on the internet, so maybe some of us listen to it too. But y'all need to hear it too. So let me say this. I'm going to be real careful what I'm about to say, because I don't want you to think it ain't because it's me. Alright? For the record, I was preaching this stuff long before I was a pastor in a church. It ain't because I don't think I'm the best preacher. I certainly don't think I'm the best pastor. Alright? Listen. But here's what I know. I know that God has given me the ability to open a Bible and expound it in a way that you can take something away from it. Three times a week, God has given you an opportunity to have somebody else stand in front of you and explain Scripture to you in a way that is designed, purposefully designed, for you to be able to more easily apply that Scripture to your life. How do we get closer to Him? I'd say start by going to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody, I just want to get closer to God. And it's like, well, do you go to church every time that you have the opportunity to go to church? Every time? I mean, let's just say it like this. If you're a member of Downey's Baptist Church, you come to me and you say, I just want to get closer to God. Okay. Are you faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Let's start there. You say, well, what if I got to go? Hey, listen. People that have legitimate reasons why they can't be in church don't get offended when you start talking about faithfulness.
Okay, that's right.
That only people that get offended at that are people that know they're laying out of church when they ought to be there. Amen. When you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Oh, yeah. Hey, listen. How do we get closer to Him? Start by taking this opportunity He's given. You know, there's people all over the world that would cut their arms off to have the opportunity to do what we do.
Yes.
If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That solves our problems this way. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to be done. The cross has two beams. That vertical beam, that's from us to Him. The blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. We're standing in the shadow of the cross, following Him. That's not an issue. But there's also that horizontal. We have fellowship one with another. That's from us to us. A lot of the reason why churches can't have revival don't have nothing to do with that vertical. It's got to do with that horizontal.
That's right.
A lot of the reason why A lot of people have a hard time walking with God. It's because they got too many problems with God's people. It's going to be hard to walk with Jesus. It's going to be hard for you to walk with Jesus when you can't get along with nobody else that walks with Jesus. Because guess where they're going to be? Right where you're going to be. Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with this. I wrote this down in my notes. I almost forgot it, and I just noticed this. This is what I was thinking when I wrote this down. Talking about learning from him. When Jesus called the apostles, they're out there fishing on their boats. He didn't say, "Be me." He said, "Follow me." I don't have to be him. I just have to follow him. He's going to be him. He's light. In him is no darkness. He's faithful. He's steady. He's solid. I don't have to worry about him. I just need to follow him. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Nobody's looking around.